As we continue through this stormy voyage of the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome, and the reality is, we all have a voyage to make, and in this voyage between here and heaven, there will be plenty of storm for us to deal with. And so we have great principles, applications from this one chapter to help us. And I've enjoyed it. I'm going to really kind of ease into it. We're going to read verse 14. If you're able to stand, let's go ahead and read verses 14 through 20. I know that we will repeat some scripture. We're going to repeat a little bit of information every time we get together. Eventually, one day, if the Lord tarries, I tarry, you tarry, we'll get through this chapter. All three of those are prerequisites. So, all right, verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Let's pray. Father, bless the message. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help me to speak. Help us to understand, Lord, how we can help ourselves when we're in a storm. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd have to say this initially. It's important that you're in the right ship if you're in a storm. That's important. And that right ship would include that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's not on board and there is no relationship between you and Him, you might as well forget making it through the storm. It's not happening. And even if it does happen and you make it to what you call the other side, it will not end well if Jesus is not on board. Amen. And so as we read this, we're just, and as I consider the practical application of it all, I'm looking to present this to people who have already received Christ as their Savior. They know Christ. They understand they're sinners. And yet, they're going through a storm. And so let's consider the context of this story thus far. Paul is a prisoner on this ship, but he is a prisoner that has some liberty. He's not the only prisoner. There are other men with him. Some of them are real criminals in the sense that they have really broken laws. The only law Paul has broken is that of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it offended the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin of Jerusalem to the degree that they said he stirred up some problems. He claimed to be a Roman, and he said, I'll petition Rome if I have to. And he did, and he's going to get a hearing with Caesar. That's the hope. On the same token, it's God's plan for him to go to Rome and present the gospel. So they've left Jerusalem, and they've went up north on the Mediterranean Sea from Jerusalem. And but as they left there, they're coming to the island of Cyprus, but a great storm, Euroclydon, came up, and it was blowing them south. And it says here, there's a statement here, it says in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. Those helps are ropes. The ship felt like it was going to come apart, and so what they would do, they had ropes or chains that they would use to wrap around the ship and tighten things up. That's what that meant as far as, just give you a little understanding of that. They were afraid it was going to come apart. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail. Now that was interesting too. On the northern border of Africa, there is an area called Ceuta Major. And in that area, there are miles and miles, possibly hundreds of miles of shallow water that is, it's just sand underneath it. As a matter of fact, when I was reading through the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, the Romans lost a fleet of ships in this part of the Mediterranean Sea, and as a result, their ships got grounded in this shallow water, and the Carthaginians were able to destroy them on lighter boats because the Romans were stuck there. And if they got out to swim for it, they were vulnerable. And even if they made it to the bank, the quicksands, this was exactly what you and I think. They didn't know what they were walking into. They'd get stuck in that mire and all of that. And so what I read was this. Every Mediterranean sailor feared the quicksands, this part of that sea. And they did whatever it took to avoid it. And so these guys knew, we're going that direction. And so they set their sails to avoid that. And as they're doing that, the storm is still blowing. Things are chaotic on that ship. And it says here, let's see, verse 18. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. So this is significant too, and this is just a possibility. I'm just making an assumption here, and I could be wrong. But they were bottoming out a little bit while they were getting away from the quicksands. And as why? Because the ship was lower in the water. There's a reason they had to unload, lighten the ship. By the way, the title of the sermon is, They Lightened the Ship. They lightened the ship. Okay? And so they had to do that to make the boat more buoyant, so to speak, get it above the water so that it wouldn't hit anything below the water. And so I want you, as I was considering this, my mind went back to my daughter and son-in-law. They had run a marathon in Minnesota. Okay, so Pete had discreetly planned his proposal. And his idea was to propose to her at the very end of the race, which he did. He said the most difficult thing was kneeling down after running a marathon. But it was cool. They took pictures and all of that, even made the newspaper. But one of the things I remember them telling me about that race, okay, up in, and I think they were around Duluth. They were northern Minnesota. It was in June. They said that when they took off, it was really chilly. It was in the 30s, maybe 40s. And everybody was wearing sweatshirts, hoodies, and headgear and things like that, and gloves. And they said about an hour, 2 hours into it, it started to get warm. And they said, we started seeing all kinds of name brand gear on the side of the road. North Face, Columbia. I mean, just all kinds. Some of it looked brand new. They actually went back and picked up some after the race. But they told me about that. They said it was unbelievable, the stuff that people were throwing aside. Well, what were they doing? They were lightening the ship. They were lightening their ship. When I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus in 1986, I didn't have a lot. I was only 19, but I did own a Grand Torino. I had a stereo. I had a stamp collection that I know was worth $2,000. I had a baseball card collection that I know I felt like was worth about $10,000. But when I surrendered my life to the Lord in 1986, all I took with me was a backpack, tent, and a sleeping bag, and the few items I could carry in that, and I headed on out. And I did that because I was lightening my ship. Lightening my ship. And by the way, I had the peace of God in my heart. I was right with the Lord, and that's all that really mattered. I did end up getting some of my baseball cards back, never got my stamps back, never got my car back, never got my stereo back. It's amazing how that stuff disappeared. Okay, but either way, God's been good to me. As we consider this text, though, when they lighten the ship, these men lighten the ship for at least three reasons. At least three reasons. Number one, the ship was sitting too low in the water. Therefore, it had to be lightened. Number two, the ship was being tossed about and it was very uncontrollable. So they lightened the ship for more control. Number three, the ship was moving too slow. They weren't going to be able to get out of the storm with all the cargo, with all the weight. And so they lighten the ship. Next thing I want to mention is this. In regards to what they threw out. Look at verse 19. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now tackling, what's that? That is the spare parts. That's the spare ropes, the spare sails, the spare bedding, the spare chains, fishing gear, whatever. That's all the spare stuff, the tackling. They threw that out. They threw out the things that they were not using at hand, that were the least important things. They lightened the ship by letting go of the things that were not as essential. I mean, it's not that they were wrong. Those things weren't wrong to have. Listen, maybe the Lord's already speaking to you. I haven't even got to the practical point yet, but I trust the Holy Spirit will do what He can with what I'm telling you. It wasn't as though this stuff was wrong. Some of it was, yeah, that was necessary. But in the midst of the storm, it's just not as necessary right now. So, the conclusion was this. If they didn't lighten the ship, it would definitely be destroyed. The ship would have the sailors knew that. They had enough sense of that. We understand that we come to verse 20 and it says all hope that they should be saved was lost because they didn't see any light. Well, we're going to touch on that next week. I will say this, though. A lot of times in our own lives when we're going through storms, if we just lighten the ship, that'd be enough. Sometimes the answer is just lightening the ship. Sometimes you need more, but sometimes all we have to do is lighten the ship. Because sometimes we have way too much cargo. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let's move on. So I already mentioned what they threw out. But I want you to notice this. What they didn't throw out. This is significant too. They didn't throw out the people. They're going through a storm. They didn't say, Paul, you need to jump overboard, bud. You prisoners, get overboard. No. There's an expectation at Rome that these guys arrive. Hello? Important car. See, they didn't throw out the people. And sometimes when we're going through a storm, we can do that to our husband, to our wife, to our children, to friends, neighbors. Oh, to church. That's not good. So, storms tend to make us see what is most important. Or, I could say it like this, because I have seen it the other way. Storms reveal what's most important. I've seen people give up on their marriage for something very, what I would call, trivial. Storms tend to make us see what is most important. If you're going through a storm, there are some items that you could and should unload to lighten your ship and keep you afloat. You know, it's interesting. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says something. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, there are some obvious things, like sinful things ought to be unloaded. If you're going through a storm, it ought to purify you. I remember hearing a quote when I was in Bible college. I was going through what I felt was just, at the time, one of the huge trials of my life. And while I was working at, now I forget the trucking place. It wasn't RPS at this time. Overnight Express. Overnight, they hauled freight. And I was just one of those guys that unloaded and loaded trucks. But I remember while I was working there in the midnight shift, and I was just had a heavy heart. We had a lot of us guys from Bible college that worked there. I had a Christian brother come to me and he said this. He said, Merv, listen. Don't let the fire consume you. Let it purify you. Man, that stoked me. That stirred my heart. I looked at him. I said, that is awesome. That's exactly what I'm going to let it do. Don't let it consume you. Let it purify. And let me tell you something. A storm... It ought to purify you. It ought to help us do a little self-examination. It ought to help us realize, you know what, there's some things in my life I know they ought to go. There are some things that are just flat out wrong. They're a hindrance between me and my Lord, and a hindrance between me and my spouse, or a hindrance between me and my witness for others. And I know that's got to go. Talk to me. I mean, that's an obvious. That's laying aside the sin which does so easily beset you. But also weights. Wait, some things are not bad, they're just weights. They're time-consuming. But I want to give you three areas here. Those were obvious. So there may be material things. I mean, we got a lot of stuff, don't we? Here in America, even poor people have a lot of stuff. A poor person could have a garage sale and be a wealthy person in a third world country. See? We got a lot of stuff. And what do? When we find a place for our stuff, we get more stuff. And you know what I've learned about stuff? It needs maintenance. Stuff needs maintenance, whether it's a house, car. Thank God, hey, some of that, thank God for. It's the second, third, fourth, or fifth car, maybe. The closet. Well, we already got stuff busting out of the closet, and we're going to go shopping for more. What are we going to do with our stuff? Sometimes, all that stuff is a weight. We could simplify things by, you know what, this has been sitting in my closet for 5 years. I'll never get back into that thing. I've been telling myself that for long. And if I do get back into it, forget that. I want to get something new. Hello? So, there are material things that we can get rid of when we're going through a storm that might help us. Less obligations. But here's the one. Here's the area that I think is going to hit home right here. This one. Because this is always an issue. They're emotional things. Because we are emotional creatures. And hey, the storm will make us emotional. And sometimes we bring other emotions into the storm. And sometimes maybe our emotions cause the storm. Who knows? But nevertheless, if we can deal with these emotions properly, it'll lighten our load and we can get through the storm. Won't be as bad. Let's go through a few of them, all right? Here's one, worry. DeWitt Talmadge said, worry is borrowing trouble from tomorrow. Borrowing trouble from tomorrow. When I think of a character in the Bible who worried, one person stands out. Anybody want to guess? Who seemed... Come on. It's a she. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Why don't you lay that worry out? Why don't you lighten that ship, Martha? Why don't you lighten that ship? Take no thought of tomorrow, for there are things that tomorrow will take care of themselves. Well, we worry about so many things that, listen, really, when it's all said, when we boil it right down, I'm actually going to talk about this here this Sunday as well, but I'll repeat myself. We either worry about things we can control or things we can't control. Hello? One of the two. We're either worrying about things we can control or things we can't control. Well, pause and hold the coffee. If I'm worrying about the things I can control, then why keep worrying? Why not just take care of business? Well, then I worry about what will happen if I take care of business. Well, you're not helping yourself. Do what's right. Just do what's right. And the things we can't control, if we worry about them, you know what we're telling God? I don't trust you. Hello? We're saying, God, I don't trust you. You're not big enough to take care of my heavy heart, my burdened heart. That's sin. Why don't we call it what it is? He that doubteth is damned if he eat, for he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen. Worry. This is real close, and it's like a kindred spirit. Fear. Fear. We can find all kinds of illustrations in the Bible, but there's one that stands out most to me. How about you? Anybody got a guess? Got a Bible illustration of somebody who allowed fear to weigh down their ship and bring them to destruction? Anybody got a guess? Come on, come on, come on. Once, twice. I give you an opportunity. You can be part of the message. Who? Fear? It was a good guess. I don't Anybody else got another one? What's that? 12 men went to spy on Canaan land. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Why were they bad? They feared. They feared. Once again, fear is simply saying, I don't trust God. It is sin to let fear rule us, especially when it comes to obedience to God. That's what I wrote down in the 10 spies. What happened to them? They all died in the wilderness. I'm telling you, sometimes you just need to lighten the load, the emotional load. It might be worry. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. Fear. God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if I'm being led by fear, that is the kind of fear that hinders me from obeying the Lord, then I'm not being led by His Spirit. Y'all with me? I mean, that's not deep theology there. Here's another one. Here's another emotion. I'm calling these emotions, feelings that need to be removed from the ship. Envy. Envy. Oh, who's the prime character of envy in the Bible? Oh, Saul, King Saul. Did that not eat him up and chew him up and spit him out? Absolutely did. Died in disgrace. Saul. Ruled by envy. Oh, don't think you and I are above that. Oh, no, don't think we're above that. All it takes is for somebody to get accolades when you think you should have got. All it takes is for someone to get looked at while you get overlooked. Then we'll find out. Envy. Here's another one. Bitterness. Lest the root of bitterness springing up among you and many be defiled. That's a fascinating verse in Hebrews 12:15 because it tells us that the bitterness of one person can defile many. Can defile many. Hey, I say these things because all of this luggage is in our human heart. And when we're going through a storm, if these things are there, we'd be wise to say, that needs to go overboard. Well, how do I do that? You talk to Jesus. And you tell Him, I need assistance in removing this cargo. You'd be surprised how He'll help you. Here's another one, greed. Greed. Well, who do we think of when we think of greed? There's a lot of characters, but one in particular. Anybody got a guess? Judas. Sold the Savior out for 30 pieces of silver. Once he found out that following Jesus involved a cross, not a crown, he sold out. See, he missed that message up until the very end. Here's one. Worldliness. Worldly gain. Who? Right on. You know why Lot and his wife and family had such a tough time leaving Sodom? They couldn't lighten the ship. They couldn't lighten the ship. If it wasn't for the prayers of Abraham, Lot wouldn't have made it out. The grace of God pulled him out of that nonsense. Worldliness needs to be unloaded. And there's a whole sermon, and each one of those are a whole message in themselves, but I'm just trying to be brief here. These are items, these are things in our heart. We want to please and we want to fit in with the world. And we don't want to stand out too much. And what is that? Hey, listen, if your Christianity caused you to stand out, so be it. Amen. But if you're afraid, or maybe you lust after, I just want to fit in. That's worldliness. When the storm comes, you're going to help yourself by unloading that. Jacob had to get back to Bethel to get things right. So I said this, we need to unload the material, we need to unload, maybe there's emotional, but sometimes there's social items that need to be thrown overboard. Sometimes we over-obligate ourselves. It doesn't make you a bad person, maybe the fact of the matter is, nobody's too kind. You just over-obligated yourself, though. And what happens is when you over-obligate yourself, and all of a sudden you find out, I got something that came up, and I'm supposed to be here, but this person wants me here, and now you're feeling stressed. Kind of got a storm going on there. We do need to pray for wisdom. I don't mention this to try to quench your spirit to serve and volunteer, but I do mention this for those who may often over-obligate themselves. Because we do need people to serve, and we do need people to volunteer. But sometimes, especially when we're going through a storm, I might need to eliminate some of those obligations. Y'all with me? Because you can't do everything. I remember hearing a sermon years ago about Joshua, and it said this. Jack Hiles preached it. He used the text, and I believe it was in Joshua 11. I'm not sure what chapter and verse, but it said this. It said, "And all that Moses commanded him, he did." And he made this statement. He said, it doesn't say all that Joshua wanted to do, he did. It didn't say that all that Joshua desired, he did. But what it did say was all that Moses commanded him, he did.
Amen.
Because you and I can't do everything. But we can obey God.
Amen.
And we ought to obey God. And that ought to be priority. When God gave Moses more men filled with his spirit, what was he doing? He was lightening his ship. If you're familiar with the story of Moses. When David felt the armor of Saul go on him before he was to go to battle with Goliath, he said, "I can't go out with these." And he laid these down. And then he fought Goliath with a sling and a stone. What did he do? He lightened the ship. By the way, he didn't just endure the storm, he conquered the storm. You know you need to lighten the ship, your ship, when you have no time for God's word. If you're going a day, let alone a week, without picking up this book and reading it personally, privately. Friend, you need to lighten your ship.
Amen.
I said, you need to lighten your ship. I don't know what you're doing, but that baby's not going to make the storm. If you don't have time to pray, a designated time to pray, if you don't take time to, I mean, I use a prayer list. I go through the directory quite frequently. We have our church prayer list. But if you don't have a prayer time, Daniel understood he needed to pray three times a day. David discovered that in Psalms 55, verse 17. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Actually, that's verse 12. Those are pretty commendable men. They understood the significance of prayer. And if you haven't taken time to pray, I'm not talking about before your meal, quick prayer, and then shove it in your face. No. I'm talking about you and God prayer time. If you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. And God pity you if you say, "But, you know, I just can't help it. I've got to watch this program and that program." crying out, dirty rotten Baptists, they always start talking about that stuff and make me feel bad. Dirty rotten sinner, get right with God. You know you need to lighten your ship when your joy of service is gone. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I sure don't feel like it. Friend, you need to lighten your load. You know you need to lighten your ship when your love for the Lord is cold. Hello. I feel so good about this message. Because it spoke to me before it spoke to you. I hope it's speaking to you. Number five, you need to lighten your ship when you're yielding more to your flesh than you are the Spirit of God. Hello. Let's reverse the day and go back from this morning, the moment you woke up, to the moment you showed up here. Glory to God, we have victory. We're in the house of God. That's a good place to be on a Wednesday night. But as we consider the whole day, how often did I yield to the flesh? And if it's a pattern, tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and then next Monday and so on, if it's a pattern, you find myself yielding more to the flesh and the spirit, eventually I'm going to drift and drift farther away from God. I better lighten that ship quick. You know, you need to lighten your ship when you can't handle confrontation with the right spirit. Nobody likes confrontation. Nobody does. But the reality is it just comes. It happens. It's life. Whether you're at work or at church or at school, that's life. Might as well face it. Difficult times, difficult people, sometimes people we love. We have confrontation. But the reality is this. If I'm having a tough time having the right attitude, right spirit, then I better lighten my load. Hello. Finally, we're going to be out here before 8 o'clock unless we have a long closing prayer. You know you need to lighten your ship when you neglect to lead your family to the Lord. I realize you can't make them trust the Lord, but man, you ought to be doing everything you can to point them to Jesus by your words, by your actions. Said, preacher, I'm here on Wednesday night. Well, praise the Lord, you got to hear the message. You got to fellowship with the believers. You got to sing these wonderful songs that we sang. There comes times in our lives, quite frequently, where we need to lighten the load. You know, I will say this too. Sometimes, as you get older and your body begins to get weaker, no fault of your own, but you just have to lighten the load. You have to lighten the ship. I understand it's not that you don't want to participate, be in this and that and this and that and this and that, but sometimes you got to lighten the ship. Just can't, the body's not able to cooperate with the will anymore. I mean, I go up and I see a guy like Steve and I feel bad for him. He wants to be out in his garden. He'd like to be in church. He'd like to be serving. I felt bad. I remember when Steve Wilhoit, I felt bad because he wasn't able to do all that he wanted to do. I could see it in him. I see Steve Allen. I see Barb Hendrickson. I see these dear saints of God that have a heart for the Lord and they can't do all that they used to do and all they want to do. No, don't have to feel bad about that. Don't have to feel bad about lightening the load. That's all right. Just don't forget God. Oh, don't forget your time with the Lord Jesus. Be faithful to Him. But just realize that sometimes, I just physically, I'm not able to do this. Can't do that. That'll help you. Father, bless the message. Thank you for your word. May the Holy Spirit help us, Lord, to be wise, to learn to examine ourselves. I pray that you bless your people this evening. Encourage them. Revive them and refresh them. Why don't we have the piano play a little bit, honey? And just we're not going to have a song. We'll just have the piano play. And if folks want to use the altar, they are certainly more than welcome to. Maybe there's some folks here that need to lighten their ship. Maybe there's some things you just know in your heart. I got to lighten my load. That is such a good song. Why don't we sing that? Brother Brian, come on up here. We're going to find that and sing that. Sweet hour of prayer.